Hi, and welcome to this demo of the new Nest Audio from Google. And of course, this is the speaker that replaces the original Google Home. So as you might remember, the original Google Home was a cylinder with a slanted top that had a touchpad on it. And of course, you could do a one-finger rotate clockwise on the touchpad to increase volume, counterclockwise to decrease volume, etc., etc. You had the mute button that you pushed in on the back, the power cord connected at the bottom, basically middle, if you were looking at the front slanted face of the Google Home itself. And of course, it had the fabric surround at the bottom, which you could always take off and put on for a different color. So that was the Google Home. Let me just see what the Nest Audio says about the Nest Audio. And it also has a bit of a comparison to the Google Home anyway. Okay, Google, tell me about Nest Audio.
On the website CNET.com, they say, the new Nest Audio replaces Google Home's single 2-inch speaker with a 3-inch woofer to control bass and a 3/4-inch tweeter for high notes.
And then if I do say this, hey Google, how tall is the Nest Audio?
On the website techhive.com, they say, measuring 6.89 by 4.89 by 3.07 inches, the Nest Audio is more than an inch taller than the Google Home speaker it's replacing, but it's a half inch shorter than the biggest Google speaker, the Google Home Max.
So it's basically a tall rectangular speaker, or 6 inches tall. It's not that tall, actually. But it feels like a pillbox. And the fabric goes around all of it, both sides and the top. And on the bottom, you've got a rubber foot, of course, which sits on a table or bookshelf, stops it slipping. And then on the bottom, back on the left-hand side, we've got our traditional Google plug-in port that the charger plugs into, and it's a fairly large charger yet again. And the mute switch is towards the top of the Nest Audio, and it's a slide switch. So if I slide it to the left and I'm facing the front of the speaker, so I've got my hand around the back of the Nest Audio, so I'm flicking it to the left.
The mic's off.
Okay, and then I'm pushing it back to the right.
The mic's back on.
Now, the touch surface, it's similar to the touch surface of the Nest Mini or the old Google Mini. And that's where you have a touch surface on the surface of the speaker. The touch surface is just under the fabric. So right in the middle is the play pause. There's no way to, as far as I can tell, to activate the Google Assistant via the speaker itself by touching it. You've got to do it via your voice. So that's basically play pause. And then the volume up and volume down. Volume down, you touch the left-hand side top edge of the speaker. And the volume up, you touch the right-hand side. So going from left to right, it's volume down, play pause, volume up. So let me just start some music playing and you can hear what it sounds like. And I just found this song yesterday. It's an instrumental track. It's a bit weird, the name, but I actually love the way it sounds, so pardon this name. Hey, Google, play Four of Us Are Dying by Nine Inch Nails.
Okay, The Four of Us Are Dying by Nine Inch Nails. Here it is on Spotify.
Okay, so that's playing now. Now, if I touch the middle of it, that's me pausing it, all right? And when I'm touching it, I'm not touching it at the top edge. I'm touching it just in front of, you can feel a bit of a seam on the top of the speaker, and I'm touching it just in front of that seam. So if I do that now, right in front of the seam in the middle of the top of the speaker, okay, it starts playing, tap it again, and it's pretty instantaneous. It's actually very responsive. If I touch the right-hand edge, just in front of that seaming in on the right-hand corner, have a listen. OK, Okay, that's how loud it goes. That was about 12 taps, I think. It was interesting in the manual when I was reading about the speaker because it said it takes 20 taps to go from zero to full bore, or 20 taps to go from full bore, of course, to zero, i.e. no sound. So this is the left-hand side. This is me turning the volume down, and I'm just tapping each time you hear a beep. Yep, and when it just got to 20, I couldn't hear anything. Now, let me just see, of course, if we can still hear the speaker. Okay, Google, what time is it?
10:31 a.m.
Okay, so I can still hear the Google speaker as in far as the Google Assistant. Let me start playing. So there you go. So the music's off, but I can still talk to the Google Assistant. So if I now turn the volume up on the top right-hand side, just in front of the seam, that's one. Now I can hear the music. So I'll keep turning up. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And look, this has got really good bass. Let me jump to 15 because I'm not going to do it full bore on the podcast anyway because it won't make that much difference. So that's 12, 13, 14, 15. Stop. It actually sounds really, really good. I prefer the bass in the Nest Audio over the Google Home. I don't know what it is about it, but it just sounds really nice. And some other information I was reading about it is that Google does have a way, or they do a way of changing the way the speaker operates depending on the type of music that's being played. So let me just do this one. Okay, Google. Play Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Sure, playing the album Beethoven's Fifth on Spotify.
Let me just turn that down left-hand side. Because the other thing I'm finding, particularly with my HomePod, sometimes feel that it's really, really, really over bassy. Whereas this speaker just seems to pick the sweet spot and play absolutely beautifully. And of course, you can do all your normal Google Assistant things with it. And of course, the reason why it's beeping when I'm activating with the OK Google and then the stop and then the end of the command, which I just did then, was of course I have the accessibility start and end sounds on for the command processing, and that was just my other Google Homes going off in the distance. So let me just play one more track, and this is the one that I like to exercise to when I'm on the treadmill or outside doing my exercise routines. Hey Google, play Before the Storm by Darude.
Sure, playing the album Before the Storm on Spotify.
And let's just turn that down a bit before it really gets going. There we go. And let's give it a little bit of sound to it when it gets going. Now let's try a little bit more volume. My guide dog next to me, she didn't like the loud music. So look, it really sounds a beautiful speaker. You can compare both of them into a stereo speaker, and of course with Google you can play in a group, you can play to all speakers, you can play to a single speaker, all that sort of really cool stuff. these speakers, I really feel like they're to be displayed. So it's almost like the new, let me just stop that. It's almost like the new Amazon Echo 4th generation, which is more of a spherical shape. They are a really nice speaker to feel. And of course, that fabric, like all the people that produce smart speakers, say that it lets the acoustics out. It doesn't prevent the transmission of beautiful sound. If you're after a speaker and you're in the universe of Google, or like me, you just like collecting smart speakers from Google, Amazon, or Apple, then this speaker you really can't do much wrong with. Australian wise, it's $149 or $99 US, which happens to just be the exactly same price of the HomePod Mini. One thing I'm going to be looking at with the HomePod Mini is how much bass the thing throws out. When I played Before the Storm and the Four of Us Are Dying track, the bass of the HomePod, it just feels a little bit overwhelming, whereas I keep saying this Nest Audio, again, just hits the sweet spot. And the final thing that I probably should mention that Google does say about the Nest Audio is that apparently it's twice as fast responding to you than the Google Home. I haven't really noticed any difference between the Google Home and the Nest Audio in responsiveness. I just tend to use smart speakers the way they use them, as long as they play, you know, the radio, as long as they play all the different app stroke, skills stroke, whatever I need to use, it's fine. Set timers, all the stuff you can do with smart speakers, particularly the Google stuff, it's all here and ready to go. In fact, let me just show you one of the things that I always use on the Google smart speaker, which the other ones don't do in Australia. Hey Google, when is the next train from Gosford to Parramatta?
The best way to get from Gosford to Parramatta by train is to catch Central Coast and Newcastle line departing at 11:02 a.m. from Gosford, a 6-minute walk from Gosford. It'll take about 1 hour and 41 minutes to get there, including one change.
Which is quite correct. So the change, of course, is getting off at Strathfield, changing platforms and catching the train out to Parramatta. But anyway, that's my bit of a quick rundown on the Nest Audio. I personally didn't realise it was this different from the original Google Home. I just thought, oh, it's just a rebranded name. But no, it's a lovely new speaker. Not too big. As I said, it's beautiful to have on display if you want to do it that way. You know, grab two of them so you can have a stereo effect playing music. And just an all-round, very, very nice speaker to listen to. And as always, thanks for listening and bye for now.